Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Thank you you are with us. Thank you you are in us. And we praise you and give you all the honor because you deserve it.
Yes, you do.
So now take these words and bless those who are here, those who also are on the internet, and see that they will be blessed, that they will be enriched, and that your spirit will jump within them and teach them something new about your love and your grace and your mercy. We give you the glory and honor. Through Christ, we give you the praise. Amen.
Amen.
So I titled this, dot, 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 and God had a plan. God had a plan. So I'm going to be reading from Exodus 12, 5 through 9, and 12 and 13. This is the Passover verse. So this is the 10th of the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. And this is the 10th one. And so Exodus 12, 5 through 9. The animals you chose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Verse 12 and 13. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt.
Amen.
Amen. So now I want to go back to before the dot, dot, dot. And my 3 points will be darkness. What is it? Where did it come from? Light and the Lamb. First, with darkness, what is it? Definition from the dictionary: with very little or no light, without knowledge or enlightenment, evil or wicked, sinister. So in Genesis 1:1-2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty. Darkness was over the whole earth. And of the deep and of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So what is this darkness that was over the deep? And what is this deep? So the darkness upon, and 2 weeks ago, Brian and I were talking, and unknowns to him, I was going to be speaking and also talking about darkness. And he brought up the idea, start talking about those who die without the Lord. And he said, even if you don't consider fire and brimstone and all those other things, But if you consider just darkness that will be upon those who are outside of God, you consider that they will never, ever see any light. There will be no joy. There will be no happiness. No one, they can, yeah, he's even like, you can scream and holler and no one's going to respond to you because they're in the same darkness. They're having the same problem that you're having. And they're going through the same thing. And so they don't care that they are all in that same place. That is darkness. And Exodus 10:21, that is the ninth plague. And God told Moses to raise his hands and to call the plague of darkness upon the people of Egypt. Yes. And in that plague, that they would not be able to see anything, either other. They would have absolutely no peace. Mm-hmm. But he also says, darkness that can be felt. And the Hebrew word for felt, meaning oppressing down, physically and or emotionally. So they were experiencing such a darkness. They couldn't leave their homes. They could not talk to anyone because they were so oppressed by darkness. Wow. That is darkness. That is the darkness that is of Lucifer. That is the darkness that anyone without Christ and everyone that do not believe what God has given and accept his gift will end up with. Darkness. And so then in going on, where did it come from? Mm-hmm. Where did darkness come from? Well, God created an angel named Lucifer. And this is what in Ezekiel 28 says about Lucifer. Model of perfection. Another name for him was son of the morning. Wow. Full of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. Was in Eden, the garden of God, established by God, anointed as a guardian cherub, blameless in all your ways from the day created. That is what it said about Lucifer.
Wow.
Incredible, amazing when you think about it. He was all that, the top angel. And then, but something happened. He changed. And it says, those were all those things about you until wickedness found you. Filled with violence. Heart became proud because of your beauty. Wisdom was corrupted because of your splendor. God then threw you to the earth. You acted in dishonest trade. And Jesus says, he is the father of lies. And then Lucifer declared himself to be the Most High God. Then he declared that the throne above the stars of God will be his. But God brought him down to Shiloh, the lowest depths of the pit. He sent him out of his presence, out of his light. That is darkness. That is what Lucifer brought into the world. And he truly is the liar of liars. And that's been his goal from the beginning with humanity, to lie to us constantly. So moving on to number two, light. What is light? There's no life without it. Definition of light. A source of light. The illumination derived from such a source. Spiritual awareness. Illumination. Something that provides information of enlightenment and or enlightens. That is light. That's a definition of light. I want to take that definition a little bit further. Genesis 1, 3 through 5a, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So immediately, we know, and I'm reminded of something I was thinking about darkness too, that when darkness was about the earth, there was no life. There was no form, the waters, there was nothing. There was nothing that could live in that presence, in that point. And so now when God speaks that first day and says, let there be light, well, there's no sun and moon and stars. What is this light? Where did this light come from? This light is the light of God.
Yes.
In Revelation, the end of the book, we reach a point where God, the new world is created, and the new kingdom is there, and there's no sun, no moon, no stars, but yet there is light, because it comes from the throne of God. That light is the light of God.
Amen.
That light that separated the darkness, that light is from God.
Yeah.
That first day he had his light shine throughout the whole world, and darkness had to run.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
Darkness cannot stand in the presence of God. Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the evil one, whatever you want to call him, he cannot stand up against God. And that's not our battle. That is God's battle. That is God's battle to defeat and stop Satan from destroying us. John 1, 1 John 1, 5b. God is light, and there is no darkness in at all. John 8, 12a. He said, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking.
Amen.
Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Yeah.
So this light is life. This light comes from God. This light comes from Jesus. Daniel 2, 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And that's who we are. And that's who God has made us to be. He's not only given his life, he's given his light. He's given his light within us. We call it the light, the Holy Spirit. But his light lives within us. His light of life, his light of wisdom, his light of understanding. His light reigns within us. For the first fruit of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth. So these are the things of light that God has given to us, and these are the things that we have in this light.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. This is from 1 Peter 2:19. But you are a chosen people.
Yeah.
So the light has chosen us. A royal priesthood. We are of the priesthood that we will return with Christ when he sets up his 1,000-year reign. We will be his priest. A holy nation. We are holy. That's who we are. We have been made that through Christ.
Thank you.
A people belonging to God. That you may declare the praises of his name, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Thank you, brother. That makes the nerves go away. So God is this light. So there is no life without that light. And I also have one more that I'd forgotten about. John 8, 12b. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Point three, the Lamb. Going back to the beginning, the liar shows up in the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve eat of the fruit. And what's the first thing that God does after he talks to them? Something dies. An animal dies to cover up their unbelief, that they did not believe him and they believed the liar. They accepted the lie. And there's no doubt in my mind, it happens to me all the time, the liar is always lying to me. Telling me all kinds of things. I don't deserve it. And what are you going up there to talk? Who are you? What do you have? Yes, and there's all kinds of things that he says. Well, you said that, you thought that. God didn't love you. Why would he love you? Look at you. He lies, he lies, and he lies.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
But the truth is within us. The truth is the light of God.
Yes,
it is. And amen, we give you praise, Jesus. And so that sacrifice was made for them. And then you got Cain and Abel. God had told them what he wanted. And so Abel, who raised animals, he brought the pure, the clean before God and sacrificed them to him. And Cain brought what he thought would be acceptable. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, my good will weigh out my bad. As long as my good overweighs my bad, then I'm going to be in heaven because I've brought my gift of goodness to God. Not going to happen. That is not the way God set it up. That's not his plan. This is his plan. He started first with Adam and Eve and then with Cain and Abel and with Abel, who followed his plan of a sacrifice. And then looking at Noah. Noah's 500 years old. And God has said, that's it. I've had it with humanity. I'm going to destroy them all. And I imagine that Jesus is like, but Father, we had a plan. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, and that guy Noah, he's righteous. He believes what you say. You say so, you tell him what you want, and he will do it. And God told him, and Noah did it, and was declared righteousness. He believed what God said, that they didn't know what rain was. They had not experienced, they didn't. A flood, and he spent that 100 years it took to build that ark, and he had 3 sons during that time, and in that, you know, 600 years old, but he, in that time, he is telling people what God had told him, and people called him a liar, called him a fool, he's ridiculous, and they would not believe. And they all, and everything that had been created, was destroyed. And so God's plan continued on through Noah, that he, after he had saved them and Noah sacrificed the unblemished animals and unblemished birds that they had on the ark with them, that he sacrificed that to give honor to God, to give praise, and to tell him his thanks that what he had done for him and his family, and that he was actually using him to be that person who continues on humanity through his family. And then Genesis 8:21b, God says to Noah, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood." Don't know when that childhood starts, but from childhood on, darkness has overtaken us. We are in complete darkness from childhood on. And God himself said, the heart is evil. It is black. It is dead. That's who we are without Christ, without the light of God. Is that an amen? John 1:29. John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Mm-hmm. I need to back up. I forgot Abraham and Isaac. Mm. Abraham, 75. God says, "I'm going to give you some land. Go over here." Abraham says, "Okay, I believe you." And he followed him. And he went where God told him he was going to give him the land. And then he tells him he's going to have a son that will carry on. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. So they figured that they would do their own way. And Ishmael was born, but that's not the promise. God promised him Isaac. And Isaac was born when he was 100 years old. Can't even begin to imagine that. 100 years old, and then 13 years later, God came to Abraham and said, "I want you to take him to the mountain. I want you to sacrifice your son." Paul tells us that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed God. God had told him he was going to have a son, and Isaac would be that son to carry on. And he believed that the word of God. He believed God. And so he took him there. And on the way there, and Isaac is, says, "Well, where's the sacrifice?" And these are some of my favorite words. "God will make a way."
Yes.
God will make a way. And he made a way as he's raising that arm, and the angel stops him over there in the thicket is a ram. Mm. Why didn't they hear it a few moments ago? Here it is. And that was the sacrifice. God made the way, the sacrifice.
Yes, he did.
But why was he asking Abraham to do that? Because he wanted a man to believe him enough to choose to sacrifice his own son, because that's what he was going to do. That was his plan all along. That from beginning was his plan. So Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the way. And I'm back to John 1:29, and John the Baptist says, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And everybody in Israel knew what that meant. That was a sacrifice. The Lamb of God, pure, without defect, is a sacrifice. And they knew the Lamb of God and takes away the sin of the world. Revelation 7:10, salvation belongs to God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Read it right and it works. Colossians 1:13-14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus' sacrifice has brought us into light. We are redeemed and our sins are forgiven. We are pure and clean. We are without spot. There is no darkness within us because, you know, our flesh is still the flesh, but our spirits are made pure because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1:19, and he's talking about not the forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And Ephesians 6:12, I've mentioned it earlier, it's all about the struggle. It's not ours. We have been made clean. We have outside forces. We have things in our head. That's why Paul tells us to renew our minds. But we also have the evil one that's always attacking us. And so, but that is not our job. We stand firm and we stand in believing what God has done. I have a quick story. I hope I'll make it quick. If you've ever heard of the name Louis Zamperini, yep, that's true. Louis Zamperini. If you've heard of the movie Unbroken or read the book Unbroken, you know that name. But he was a child delinquent. His older brother and his mother spent hours praying for him. And his older brother convinced him to start running. He saw something in him. And he ended up running in the 36 Olympics. And one side story, his roommates in the Olympics were Jesse Owens and also Jackie Robinson's brother. Yeah. And the... He's a prankster. He took the sign off of Jesse Owens' door that said that he wanted peace and please do not disturb me. And he did that, and people were knocking on Jackie's door every day and asking for it. So he was a prankster. But he also was looking forward to the 40 Olympics. It never happened. It was going to be in Japan. It never happened. He ended up in the war. He volunteered before we even went to war. And he went into the Air Corps at that point. And he became a guiding the bombs. And then his plane went down. The plane they should have never been in went down. He spent 47 days drifting in the ocean with one other man that made it, another one had died during the time they were there. But then they ended up getting captured by the Japanese, went in to an island that no one, absolutely no one, at that point had ever survived from that island once they'd been on there. They'd all been beheaded, and they were expecting the same thing. The Japanese and the homeland found out who he was, and they figured they'd use him for propaganda. And so they sent him to the homeland or to Japan, the island. But he, on his before, they brought him out, and his pilot, and they had them on their knees, had them take off their clothes, and he thought for sure they were going to behead him. And one thing that he had said on when he was in the raft boat, it's like, God, if you get me through this, I will serve you. Mm. And so he goes to Japan. He's a prisoner of war. He meets a man they call the Bird, who is the leader of the, or the head of that particular prison. And he's just brutal. Mm. Absolutely brutal. I've read the book. What you see in the movie doesn't even compare to what that man did to him, to Lewis. Just brutal. The evil, the wickedness, all and so forth. So the end of the war happens. He goes home, and he ends up getting married. And he, and this is a part you don't see in the movie, but in the book it tells us that he, at this point, he was starting to have dreams. Nightmares. He was getting more depressed. He started drinking a lot of alcohol, and he was getting drunker every day. He'd be drunk by early morning, and he was starting to get brutal. He was brutal with his wife, constantly arguing and fighting. One night he was in the midst of his sleep, and the one thing he wanted to do, he wanted to go back to Japan. He was trying to raise money to go back to Japan and find the Bird, and he was going to kill him. He was going to strangle him. And so one night when he's asleep, he's having a dream that he is strangling the Bird. And he wakes up, and he's on top of his wife, strangling his pregnant wife. And she then, you know, leaves him, goes home to her family in the East Coast. They're out in California, the West Coast. And after a year, she comes back, because she wants to divorce him. And she's going to work to get that divorce going. And Billy Graham shows up. This is in 1949. And Billy's really starting, you know, this is early on. He's not well known. And they first set up, and it's not very many people. But before long, they've got 10,000 people a night coming in. And she goes to one where they had some... they were renting an apartment, and they had some neighbors that asked her to come, and him. And he's like, no way, I'm not going to that. I don't have anything to do with God. He had forgotten what he had said. And so she went, accepted Christ. She came back, and she talked to him. She got him to go once. And as Billy's preaching, he's like, no. I'm a good man. And he got furious, angry. And he's like, and he left. And he was never going to go back again. And she convinced him to go one more time. It was getting close to the end, but they just kept adding days, more days and more days and more days, because people kept coming over and over and over again. They kept coming. And he goes. She finally convinces him to go. He's like, I'll listen. I'll sit there and I'll listen. But as soon as he says, bow your heads, I'm out of there. I'm not going to listen any more than that. And so he listens. He gets up. He starts walking out in the light of God. Opened his mind to remember what he had said. And he said, I need Jesus.
Wow.
And that day, he accepted Christ. Mm. That day, he knew, he said, that he would forgive the Bird.
Wow.
He knew that he would forgive all the guards. He knew that he no longer needed the alcohol. Wow. They went home, and they didn't talk much. And it says in the book that his wife just looked at him the whole way home, wondered what he was going to do, what was going on here. Was this real? And first thing he does, he goes in the house and he gets his liquor bottles and he pours them all out. He dumps them all out. He gives up smoking. The light of God came upon Lewis. The light of God changed that man's life. From that day forth, he started a club or a camp for delinquent boys. They take them out into the wilderness, and they would mountain climb, they would ski, but he would teach them, he would tell them about what God did for him, and he would also teach them about getting an education, that they can, if they put their minds to it, their strength to it, they can do it. And he spent the rest of his life, nearly 50 years, running that camp, and his family still runs that camp. And that they reach, because that's how the light of God, and he tried, and he went actually to Japan and talked to the other prisoners.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, not the prisoners, the guards. The guards, and he told them his story, and they were just stunned. They couldn't believe it. He told them that he forgave everyone, and they could not believe that he would forgive them.
Oh.
And he forgave every one of them, and he tried to get hold of the bird. The bird wouldn't listen to him, couldn't find him at first, but finally they found him. He thought he was dead, but they found him, and he wrote a letter to the bird. He said in this, "I committed my life to Christ," and this was in 1998. "I committed my life to Christ. Love replaced the hate I had for you. Christ said, forgive your enemies and pray for them." And that's what he did from that day, from that first day when he walked down and accepted Jesus. And so today when we take communion, we're taking communion not just to remember, but to know where he's taken us from, who we are, what we are. So we give praise and we give honor and we give glory, but we also rejoice.
Yes.
Rejoice that Christ died for us. In Revelation 5:11, when the scroll is open, to be opened, no one is able to open it except for one. The Lamb of God is worthy to open the scroll. And 5:11 through 12, 11 is the 10,000 by 10,000 angels will be singing. The four living creatures will be singing. The 24 elders will be singing. And this is the song they will be singing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I am finished.